CMC Markets is a pioneering CFD and spread betting provider. With more than 30 years of experience, CMC Markets provides traders with the tools they need to trade confidently. 76% of retail investor accounts lose money.
Hello and welcome again to the City View podcast in partnership with CMC Markets. I'm at City AM's Andy Sylvester. Today we've got a very special guest indeed, a true legend of legal services. Sir Nigel Knowles is now Group CEO at DWF Group, having served as chairman of the Integrated Business and Legal Services Company until the middle of last year. Before he joined in 2017, he spent over 38 years at global law firm DLA Piper and was knighted in 2009 in recognition of his services to the legal industry. In short, what he doesn't know about the UK and indeed global legal markets, well, frankly, it's not worth knowing. And Sir Nigel joins me now. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here. Good to see you again.
Let's kick off with a sort of question about really legal services in the UK and English law, I suppose. It's been preeminent in the world for a very long time. Is that, you think, still going to be the case in, you know, 5, 10, 15 years' time?
I do believe that's going to be the case, yes. I mean, let's remember that English law has been a massive export for this country. In fact, often underappreciated. If you think about how many contracts around the world are signed every day subject to English law. Not only that, there's a lot of people around the world, both corporates and individuals, who come to London to resolve their disputes in the High Court and other courts in this country. And if you also think that the majority, I think, of global law firms emanated from the UK, and actually quite a number of them from the north of England. So we celebrated a number of years ago, 800 years of Magna Carta, and I think there is a real move within the English legal system to ensure that we are fit for purpose for the next 800 years. So we have comparative studies of how services are delivered around the world, the sort of legislation that governments need to enact in order to stay ahead of the game. But I also believe that as a consequence of everything else I've just mentioned, we are very innovative. We do have lots of clients. We are very responsive to clients, and clients now need services that they've not had before. And innovation, the use of technology, is exactly what clients are demanding. And I think, as in the last number of years, the UK is at the forefront of delivering that innovation, and therefore I do believe we can still stay ahead. Some firms obviously don't get it, and they may not stay ahead, but I think in the main, we're in a good position.
That's interesting you said some firms don't get it, because I think, you know, you look at DWF over recent, certainly your time there, you can see that that is a firm that is endeavouring to do things a little bit differently, to be a bit more of a kind of all-round player, I suppose. But is there something about the legal services profession, you mentioned those firms that don't get that innovation, is there something about legal services that holds back innovation, that is almost a little bit, you know, reticent to jump aboard innovation, be it in tech or digital or just in doing new things?
Well, I do think that some people, some firms will think that they are doing pretty well, continue to do pretty well, and can't see the need for change. But if you talk to clients are demanding change. General counsel are now usually part of the executive committee of any large corporate, and they are facing demands from their CEO, CFO. There are new challenges. You know, how can we use data to increase our efficiency? How can technology help us? How can we streamline processes? What is AI? How can e-discovery help us? And law firms have got to find the answers to these questions posed by their clients. And if you're in that situation where you don't see the need for this, or you're not getting these messages from clients, you may well fall behind. The other dimension, of course, is whether or not law firms can afford the cost of investing in technology in the way that they need to do. And one of the reasons, and you mentioned this, one of the reasons DWF went through an IPO in 2019 was to be able to raise public money in the markets to optimize the performance of our business by investing in technology. And you will see that through the acquisition of Mindcrest, which is a managed services business, and our connected services businesses, we acquired two small businesses at the beginning of this financial year in early May. You know, if you haven't got the profitability to invest back into technology, it could be a problem. And some LLPs, you know, there's a real burden on the equity partners of today to invest in the future of their firm for tomorrow. And some equity partners in the traditional LLP don't want to do that.
Which is going to put them at a huge competitive disadvantage, you would assume, going forward.
Well, it's going to make life difficult. I mean, if you, one other thing that's worth mentioning is that I don't think any law firm has got more than 2/3% of the global available legal market. Now, contrast that with the Big Four accountants, who all probably got around 20%. The market is very fragmented, and therefore the ability of law firms to invest in technology and to invest in staying ahead, and I'm not just talking about UK law firms, I'm talking about all around the world, is therefore on occasions more problematic.
That's interesting, but yeah, a fragmented market, but of course a competitive market as well. In terms of that staying ahead, obviously, you know, human capital is also important, investing in people. I think you kind of alluded to it in terms of what general counsels are being asked and the questions that law firms are therefore being asked. You know, are aspiring lawyers having to develop new skill sets now than perhaps they did in a more traditional industry? Are they having to, you know, get on top of that new technology from the off?
Yes, of course they are. And indeed, we look for people now who have had experience in managed services or legal management or legal tech or know-how generally. And you'll always have lawyers, but sitting alongside lawyers, you're going to have data science and analytics specialists, people in research and development, horizon scanning to see what new technologies are coming down the line. There are new legal technologists who are looking to develop new products to sell into clients. We are trying to do that and are successful in that regard, particularly in our managed services business. And then the whole point about digital content and delivery model expertise, which lawyers traditionally have not had. Now, I don't think lawyers have got to be retrained to achieve all of these abilities and skill sets, but you need people in the business who can cover these areas, who can work alongside lawyers. And of course, through osmosis, these skills get transferred to lawyers, but clearly. And then you've got the alternative legal services, legal sector panels, which are now emerging. And for that, you really do need all these additional skills. So, you've got to change. You've got to adapt.
No, that's fascinating. I mean, thinking of adapting, obviously, everybody has had to adapt pretty significantly over the past 15 months, right? Has the pandemic, and it has in some industries and it has for some companies, but in legal services, has the pandemic and all the changes we've had to make to the way we work, has that helped kickstart some of that innovation at all? Or was it, do you think it was already in train anyway for the companies that were doing it?
I think there is no doubt that it's accelerated the trends which were already taking hold, and it's turned conversation into action, which is what was needed. People are no longer feeling uncomfortable about delivering services using technology and digitization. And that's always very helpful. In our case, in the DWF case, we'd spent a lot of time working remotely and working online with the use of technology with all our clients. And I think that we were in pretty good shape to begin with, but we've refined all of that and we are developing products and services specifically to cover issues concerning the use of technology and the delivery of enhanced services to clients.
Because, of course, in some cases, the sort of regulation, et cetera, has not necessarily caught up with the way that modern technology does these things. I just want to ask you another quick question about the pandemic and something that a lot of people have been talking about over the past year, which is the rise of ESG, not just as a sort of, you know, frankly, attachment to a website, a bit of corporate social responsibility on the side, which I think 10 years ago, a lot of companies could have been accused of. You know, fundamentally now, investors are asking about it. People like me are asking about it. Has that changed, the industry's expectations of what you deliver? Because in some ways, you sort of think legal services quite black and white, you know, the sort of things that you have to do and you make decisions and there are certain processes that you follow. But how do you sort of embed ESG into the work that you do? And indeed, do clients really, do they mind? Do they want it there?
Well, I think clients definitely want it there, and our people definitely want it there, and we as a business definitely want it there. I mean, I would say that it's that this is a wave that has taken hold irrespective of the pandemic. I mean, our purpose is to deliver positive outcomes for all the people who work with us, for our clients and our communities, and to behave responsibly, including in relation to climate change. I mean, I actually was the chairman of the Legal Sector Alliance, which emerged out of the Prince of Wales Climate Change Initiative back in 2005 or 2006. And I've always seen all of this as really important. I mean, we are signing up to the UN sustainability goals. Our people do feel better that they are part of a business that feels very responsible for this. And in relation to both ESG and diversity and inclusion, we've got great partners who front all this up, who advise the executive committee, who set the pace for the firm. And we've benefited enormously. And by the way, I think to get ESG and diversity and inclusion right is exactly what clients want and our people want. Our people first, and then they look after our clients. But it gives you a source of competitive advantage. It gives you a source of differentiation. And it is very, very important to me and to the whole of our firm.
Mm. Yeah, that's it's interesting to hear you say it, and just think how embedded these things are becoming in everything from law firms to every other corporate across the city, right? I just want to ask you sort of one last question, I suppose. You know, we talked about English law and the English legal services profession as a kind of success story, and hopefully it will remain so. In sort of 3-4 years time, what does DWF look like when we speak again in 3-4 years time? What have you done? What have you innovated in? Where's the progress for you for the next couple of years?
Well, I think we will through M&A and acquisition be a larger firm. We've got to respond to the needs of our clients, and in some cases our clients want us to be elsewhere in the world and developing further products that they will want to buy. There'll be a greater use of technology. We will be leading in ESG and D&I. I hope that as a result of good management, good leadership, and going back to ESG, delivering positive outcomes for our people, for our clients, for our communities, make us a better, more respected, and more successful.
Oh, thanks
firm.
Again to Sir Nigel.
Plenty of ambition.
For me, it's
then,
what he said.
I'll let you get on with the job. Thanks so
Sometimes
much for joining us, and hopefully we'll speak again soon.
Yeah, great to speak to you again.
On it with
Thank
innovation
you.
And adaptability that is key and cannot rest on our laurels. That's all from us here, The City View, in partnership with CMC Markets. I've been Andy Sylvester. Do keep up with all the latest news and analysis on cityam.com as we head into the summer, and who knows, maybe even the end of restrictions.
CMC Markets is a pioneering CFD and spread betting provider. With more than 30 years of experience, CMC Markets provides traders with the tools they need to trade confidently.
76% of retail investor accounts lose money.